Alright, let's try that again. Without fucking up this time. Once more with feeling, as we say in the theater. You know, when people say that the best way to finish something is to start it, there's a lot of truth to that. So today, Randy and I got together here at the studio to do some recording, and I was kind of moping around and delaying, and it's like, we need to record, but I don't want to record. And I did not want to start the process. And yet, as soon as I come in the studio and pull the cover off the microphone, suddenly everything engages. And it's true, if there's a project you dread doing, just start the project. And you will find that by starting on it, there's just something about humans that something comes up within us that we want to finish what we've begun. I shouldn't say that about everybody, of course. I'm sure there are many exceptions. But the exceptions don't matter because they're probably stupid-ass fucking statist. See, the crowd agrees with me. All right. I should be doing the intro, shouldn't I? Yes! Hi. What's up? That was me getting distracted because I was looking at something over there. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that comes in on to destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world and the great one itself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet for 11 motherfucking years. Been on the internet since 1999, actually. I should say I've been podcasting for 11 motherfucking years. Much, much longer than you have been podcasting, so just go fuck yourself. Alright, anyway, cynlibsoc.com on the internet. And send us an email at God, it's dog spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com. And of course, over in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is the 30th of December, 2015. We survived Christmas and all the associated Christmas bullshit, and Randy's tired of seeing her family, and I'm okay with seeing people because I spent a couple of days not seeing people at the house, just working indoors, not going out, getting shit done, and now I've started re-emerging, going out into public places and seeing people and remembering why I'm such a big fan of natural selection. All right, natural selection. Let's talk briefly about one of my favorite things is Apple users and how fucking stupid they are. I found this interesting. I bought some headphones, or not headphones, but earphones, earplugs, earbuds, whatever the fuck they're called, that you plug into your iPod or your computer or whatever so you can listen to music, right? And on the packaging, I noticed it says iPod/iPhone compatible. And I find that interesting that it says it's a standard 1/8-inch stereo plug, just like every computer sound card, every audio player. I have a SanDisk MP3 player. Yeah, I mean, every audio device on the planet, like a Walkman, most of you don't even know what a Walkman is, that's fine. You know, a Walkman, a portable CD player, whatever, they all have 1/8-inch stereo plugs on them. It's a universal interface. Yet the packaging has to specifically say Android phones. Android phones have the same thing. Yet the packaging specifically has to say that this is iPod/iPhone compatible. Because everybody on the planet can look at this and go, oh, that's an 1/8-inch stereo plug, that'll work. Except for Apple users. Apple users are so fucking stupid that you have to explicitly tell them that the 1/8-inch stereo plug will actually function with their device. And I think I mentioned this before too. This is another Apple thing that came up. Is when somebody I know posted on social media, they're like, yeah, I have an Apple and I have to do a presentation. I have to hook my MacBook to a projector, but I don't have the dingle dangle converter that allows me to do that. Does anybody have one I can borrow? if you're going to buy a MacBook, why don't you buy the motherfucking adapter that allows you to hook your fucking MacBook to the devices that everybody else's fucking computers can hook to naturally? But no, when you're a fucking Apple user, you expect other people to provide that for you. Because you're a motherfucking statist. I'm telling you, I don't know any anarcho-capitalist that use a goddamn fucking Mac. I don't. Maybe they're out there and I would question their anarcho-capitalism. But my Mac is so easy to use. That's what you hear from them. It's so easy. Yeah. Because Windows is so complicated. You have to double-click on the icon. Holy shit. And of course, then there's Linux. I'm pretty sure real anarcho-capitalists, such as myself, use Linux. Who are you to say what a real anarcho-capitalist is? You're racist, sexist, and homophobic. Hold on a second. I had to walk out of range of the microphone and blow my nose. You really did not need to hear me blowing snot from my nostrils. That's pretty fucking unimportant. So anyhow, at some point in the future, I'm going to talk about what is and isn't a real anarcho-capitalist according to my standards and other stuff. Just it's going to come up. It's going to come up in the context of something I've talked about before and need to talk about again, is the invasion of the anarcho-capitalist sphere, for lack of a better term, by social justice warriors. I predicted this, I said it was coming, and of course it's happening. Okay. CSU Collegian. I got a stack here of stuff from the CSU Collegian. Oh, speaking of CSU. So I'm talking to a friend of mine who works at Colorado State University. That's the CSU we're talking about. And she has discovered a closet with six file cabinets in it, which are filled with paper. And the paper includes the names, the addresses, the phone numbers, the social security cards, photocopies of driver's licenses and passports and credit cards of students and employees. And she's like, why do we have this stuff? This is identity theft fucking paradise. Why is this here? It serves no purpose. It has no purpose. In fact, even back in the days when I worked at CSU, They sent out this edict that said you're not allowed to have somebody's social security number. Oh, social security numbers, if I didn't mention that. Social security numbers are in there. That you're not allowed to have somebody's social security numbers unless you really, 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 really need them because of identity theft problems. Because, of course, the government has created this system where everybody has a unique number, and once you have that number, you can find out everything about them and steal their identity. And so this is, of course, because the government cares about you and is keeping you safe, and you have to believe that because otherwise you hate black people because Obama has black skin, even though he's actually only half black and he's half white, but we're not allowed to talk about that. Anyway, so you're not supposed to have all, the university, by their own rules, is not supposed to have social security numbers. They're not supposed to have this sort of information on paper. It's all supposed to be secured on the computer, because we all know computers can't be hacked. That would never happen. And she's like, we have to get rid of this shit. And her superiors are like, no, we don't. There's nothing wrong with having this. You need to shut up and sit the fuck down. And she's telling me this story. I'm just like, yeah, that would be CSU. The stupidity, the ignorance, the corruption. And of course, this is where the smartest generation ever is going to learn. And these are the people that the smartest generation ever is looking to them for guidance. You know, this is an American college. These are the smartest people in the United States, teaching the smartest generation that's ever existed in the history of the human species. What am I drinking? Funkworks Deceit is the beer of the day. All right, back to CSU. Article here. Diversity of ideas alone is not a sufficient objective for CSU. By the Department of Ethnic Studies, Colorado State University, in celebration of the 150th anniversary of the Morrill Act of 1862, CSU published a documentary. When you release a documentary, I don't know, who cares? Published a documentary titled, quote, "A Degree of Democracy, How the Morrill Act Changed Higher Education in America," unquote. This documentary captured well the relationship between the Morrill Act and the spirit of America's democratic principle, where ordinary folks would have the opportunity to contribute meaningfully to our society by gaining access to higher education. As a public good measure, the land-grant institutions like CSU are inspired to serve as a front door of the American dream, essential to the survival of our democracy. Further, Further, the narrator, Fred Brown, a technical journalism major from CSU, who can't get a job, articulated that if it was a transformative piece of legislation that has evolved over 150 years, still inspiring students and solving complex problems for society. In light of the recent racial conflicts across college campuses and communities at large, what racial conflicts? Are there some race wars that I've been missing? Are there some riots? Are the black people having to go to different classrooms than the white people? What racial conflict? You know, part of seeing the social justice warrior phenomena, is these people are so desperate for meaning in their life, and they don't have any meaning. And they don't know how to create their own meaning. And so they look to the past and they see what happened then, and they try to bring that into the future, and they try to insert themselves into it so that they can find meaning. Right? That's why racism will never fucking die. Everybody wants to go back to the glory days when the black people had to sit in the back of the bus and drink from a separate water fountain. And then, you know, you could be so brave and heroic for saying black people are equal. Well, now, saying black people are equal isn't exactly a big deal or controversial. It doesn't get you any attention. Unless you can convince people that black people still have to sit in the back of the bus or drink from a different water fountain, and now you can say black people are equal, and oh, you can feel so heroic. You know, it's just like when Obama came out and said, well, I think gay people should be able to get married. I mean, regardless of how you feel about that, Obama said he thinks gay people should be allowed to get married, what, 6-8 years after most of the people in the United States said that? I mean, by the time Obama actually said that, it was pretty much a done deal. There's no serious resistance to gay people getting married anymore. And when he said that, there was no serious resistance to it happening. In light of the recent racial conflicts across college campuses and communities at large, diversity continues to be an important challenge for this generation. Wait, if this generation is so fucking tolerant, multicultural, diverse, and intelligent, why is diversity such a challenging problem for you? What you're saying is your generation isn't tolerant and diverse and multicultural, because if they were, diversity would not be an important challenge for you, would it? Okay, like, if I can run a 6-minute mile, I can't come around and say, well, running a 6-minute mile is an important challenge for me. It's not an important challenge. I can fucking do it. But then again, it's words. Oh, words. Words are, of course, part of the patriarchy. And it doesn't really matter what's being said. What matters is what they mean. And what this article means, of course, is that white men are racist. All right. The challenge, however, will not be adequately addressed when we view diversity as simply embedded in ideas and not rooted in the lived experiences and realities of our diverse communities. So you see, diversity isn't about what people think. Diversity is about the lived experiences and realities of diverse communities. Now, this is interesting because I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, well, actually I can't, but let's say in theory I could be wrong. People's ideas, people's opinions, people's world views, that's the phrase I always like to use, are, while maybe not entirely a product of, they are heavily influenced by a person's life experiences, which you might also call their lived experiences and realities of diverse communities. And what we see here is the ethnic studies department saying, well, it's not just enough that people have different ideas. No, no, no. They have to have different lived experiences. As if different lived experiences is not where different ideas come from. Having different lived experiences is exactly the source of different worldviews, different ideas. Now, of course, what's actually going on here, this is Orwellian code phrase, because what the diversity department wants, or ethnic studies department wants, of course, is more quote-unquote minorities, even though, of course, if you look at the population, heterosexual white men are the minority compared to all the other groups. But regardless, we call these other groups minorities so that they can get special treatment, which of course we would not have in an anarcho-capitalist paradise. We also wouldn't have me stripping down while recording the podcast, because again, it's getting hot in here because I'm sexy. Don't get excited, girls. I was just taking off my sweater. When I say stripping down, I don't mean I was letting it all hang out. I know, you got really excited there. So all of this is just code phrase for we need more black people. But we can't say we want more black. So we say, well, we need different lived experiences. This is just code phrase for people with different color skin. Because again, diversity on a college campus, I'm not the first person to say this, it's been said by other people, I've said this before, diversity on a college campus does not mean a diversity of ideas. It means a diversity of skin color. Diversity on a college campus means a whole bunch of people with different color skin that all vote Liberal Democrat. That is diversity on a college campus. The idea that diversity is a Republican and a Democrat and a Socialist and a Communist and a Green Party and a Tea Party and a Libertarian and an Anarcho-Capitalist and an Atheist and a Jew and a Muslim and a Hindu and a Buddhist. That if all of those people had white skin, that would not be diversity. That is not diversity. It doesn't matter what your ideas and opinions and worldviews are. What matters is the color of your skin. And of course, they don't want to come out and say skin color, so they have to create these Orwellian phrases, such as rooted in the lived experiences and realities of our diverse communities. Right? That's an Orwellian phrase for black people. But we can't say black people because, well, that's racist. Colorado State University has long touted the importance of diversity. Yes, they have, because there is none. Again, there's a thing called the internet. You can go on to Colorado State University, check out what percentage of their students are white people compared to non-white people. Again, as I've always said, the more you have to say you have something, the less likely it is you have it, right? Remember, the girls who say, I've only had sex with three guys have really been fucked by 30. The guys who say, I've had sex with 20 girls are still virgins. Okay, if you have to say you've got it, it means you don't. Colorado State University long touted the importance of diversity is an integral part of the university's strategic planning and is presented prominently on the university's homepage. Oh, it's on the internet. It must be true. From the vantage point of many minority faculty, staff, and students on this campus, however, we feel that the university could do more to prepare our students to engage thoughtfully and meaningfully, not simply for diversity, but through diversity. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Many of us were equally dismayed when we read the article, Data Shows Lack of Diversity at CSU Honors Program, published in the Rocky Mountain Collegian, which showed that only 7 out of the 391 students were identified as Latino, Black, and Native American, with an additional 29 students of Asian descent. See, and here we go. Now, they'll be the first one. Well, we're not in favor of quotas. Okay, but when the honor students are mostly white people, followed by Asians, no surprise there, in a school that is mostly white people, oh, this is racism. There's no diversity here. But we don't want any quotas. No. But we need more Latino, Black, and Native American people to be honor students. Even more striking, the fact that one of the assistant directors of the University Honors Program is quoted as saying that there is, quote, a diversity of opinions, unquote, even when there is not a diversity of, quote, color of skin, unquote, in the honors classrooms. Quote, they might all look white, but when you start peeling that down, there's all kinds of diversity, unquote. So first of all, this unnamed person appeals to this concept that there is a diversity of opinions, even if there's not a diversity of skin colors. But then, of course, immediately loses any trace of a spinal column by saying that when you start peeling that down, there's all kinds of diversity. They might all look white. Again, notice the need to make being white a bad thing. You see, they all look white, but they're not really all white inside. I mean, this is the most pathetic fucking attempt at appeasing the diversity crowd ever. Yes, we have all these people, and they look white on the outside, but inside they're not really white. For those of you who are parents, if you're sending your children to college and you're paying for that, this is what you're paying for. You wonder why your kids come home and they're fucked up. This is the reason. Indeed, there was probably a diversity of ideas even before the passage of the Morrill Act. Whoa, wait, you mean, hold it, they just acknowledged that there was a diversity of ideas before the government passed a law. Whoa, this is a major stepping stone in the right direction for statists to actually admit that there could have been a diversity of ideas before the government passed a law. Whew, holy shit, we're making progress, my friends, we're making progress. The passage of the Morrill Act, which opened the doors, particularly for women. Got to get some patriarchy in there because, you know, it can't all be about black people. We still got that fight going on about who's going to be the apex victim. And black people are getting knocked out by the feminists. But, you know, as I've said, the trannies are coming. The trannies will soon be the apex victims, followed by the pedophiles who will eventually overturn the trannies to be on top and eventually legalize pedophilia. I know you think it won't happen. Again, you heard it here first. When it happens, you're going to listen and you're going to say, God, that asshole was right. he said that pedophilia would be legalized, that it would be legal in the United States for 40-year-old adults to have sex with 8-year-old children. I didn't believe him, and now it's happened, and he was right. So just write it down. Remember this one. Heard it here. Didn't necessarily hear it here first. I'm not the first person to predict this. Not the first person. Let's see, where were we? Doing something about patriarchy. But it would be disingenuous of us to hide behind the cloak of diversity as ideas rather than see the problem for what it is. Right, you see, we don't want to hide behind the cloak of diversity as ideas. Because what have I been saying? Different ideas, that's not the diversity they're looking for. They don't care about what's in your brain. Well, they do. They want what's in your brain to be liberal, democrat, socialist. They want it to be feminism, they want it to be hatred of heterosexuals, they want it to be hatred of white men, hatred of capitalism. So what is in your brain matters, but what doesn't matter is a diversity of what's in your brain. That's not what's important to them. When programs that are racially homogeneous only solicit diverse ideas from one group, the diversity of opinions represents only that group. Okay, so what you're saying is that if you have a racially homogeneous, and does it have to be racial homogeneousness? What about sexual orientation homogeneous? What about gender homogeneous? Is it only racial homogeneous? So you have this homogeneous, when you have a program that's homogeneous and it only solicits diverse ideas from one group, the diversity of opinions represents only that group. So you're saying homogeneous groups that don't take opinions from people outside the homogeneous group are not properly diverse. So would these homogeneous groups, would these include feminist, the Black Student Alliance, the GLBTKKK, the Department of Ethnic Studies? Would any of these homogeneous groups fit into this category? No, of course not. Because when we say homogeneous group, we mean white men. In essence, the idea that a diversity of opinions within the honors program sufficiently addresses diversity of experience, identities, and social locations is the very kind of thinking that produces and then uncritically espouses a racially homogeneous program. Translation: we need more Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Because we're judging people not by their ideas, but by their skin color. Because, of course, and part of this argument is they're going to say, well, but you see, it's just white people just can't have the experiences that Black people and Latinas and Native Americans have. Okay, I mean, to a point, that's true. I mean, as a white person, I can never know what it's like to kiss the ass of the government that allowed my ancestors to be forcibly transported to the United States and sold as slaves. As I'm not a Black person, so I can't know what it's like to vote for and actively support a government that took other Black people and allowed them to be subjected to an experiment where they were told they were being treated for syphilis, but they actually weren't, in order to see what would happen. As a white person, I can't know what it's like to be a Native American and to vote for the government and support the government and obey the government that exterminated a large number of my ancestors and put the rest of them onto reservations. Yeah, you're right. I guess there are some aspects of being a victim that I just can't understand because of my genetic DNA heritage. Gosh. And yet, I'm capable of figuring out that the government is the enemy, and all these people whose ancestors were killed, imprisoned, and enslaved by the government can't figure it out. And a diversity of ideas isn't very useful if it allows stupid ideas to flourish. And statism is a stupid idea. Just as natural selection must apply to biological organisms in order to be effective, so too must natural selection apply to ideas. If you have a society in which stupid ideas are, and it's not about repressing, you don't have to hold down the stupid ideas. You just have to have a society in which the stupid ideas are not protected. Again, you have to get rid of the safe spaces, the quotas, the hate speech laws, the free speech zones, the political correctness, all of this stuff. Because if I said that on a college campus, right, if I said to black people, it's like, do you realize you're supporting a government that put your ancestors in chains, enslaved you, sold you? If I said to Native Americans, you realize that in kissing the ass of the government, in voting for the government, in supporting the government, in obeying the government, this is the very same government that put your ancestors on reservations. You get that, right? I can't say that on a college campus because saying the truth is dangerous to stupidity. And all of these idiots on these college campuses have to be protected from the truth. Now, some people are going to say, and this is one of my favorite arguments, and for those of you who want to argue this shit, here's how you deal with this. Here's how I deal with this, anyway. Some fucking moron, stupid fucking statist will always say, well, but when the government exterminated the Indians, that was a long time ago. Things have changed. It's like, okay. So, let's say that I rape a woman. How long do we have to wait before I'm not a rapist anymore? Because that was a long time ago and things change. Now, it's the same government. It's the same system of laws. It's the same sort of people. It's the same government. Just because it was a couple of hundred years ago doesn't mean it didn't happen. And this is what you, then this is the other thing. Wow, that was a long, oh wait, that was a long time ago, so we can forget about it. Yet I notice you keep clinging to slavery, which was a long time ago. Maybe we could forget about it. Oh, I notice you keep clinging to the war between the states. Oh, that was a long time ago. Maybe we could forget about it. But of course we can't, can we? No, of course not. So, then a question emerges. What kind of diversity should CSU strive to achieve in light of its land-grant mission? Oh, it's land-grant mission. You mean, for those of you know what this means, so basically the government gave the land to CSU and said, you can build a college here, but you have to educate people. Okay, that's extremely simplified. The point to throw in is that before the government gave the land to CSU to build a college on, the government had to kill the Native Americans who lived there first. The government had to take the land away from the Native Americans who were currently there. Oh, but that was a long time ago. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about diversity and tolerance and multiculturalism. The above-mentioned article made a reference, though inaccurate in its interpretation, to the 2003 U.S. Supreme Court decision that sought to address the issue of racial diversity in public universities. Delivering the opinion of the court, Sandra Day O'Connor in Guttenberg versus Berlinger cited numerous briefs underscoring the importance of diversity without insulating any one particular... Wait, hold on, let me read this correctly. cited numerous briefs underscoring the importance of diversity without insulating any one person of a particular race from comparison with other candidates. Student diversity, the court extorted, not only promotes livelier, more spirited discussions in the classroom, I have to see if I have the rest of the art, yes, but also better prepare students for an increasingly diverse workforce and society. Well, then if diversity is so goddamn wonderful, why do the college campuses spend so much effort trying to restrict the opinions that are expressed on college campuses? Again, they say this shit, but as always, you judge people, organizations, corporations, governments, universities, whatever the fuck it is you're passing judgment upon, you judge them not by what they say, but by what they do. More importantly, quoting the admissions director of the law school, the court went on to argue that student admissions records was used to track the racial and ethnic component of a class in order to, quote, ensure that a critical mass of underrepresented students would be reached so as to realize the educational benefits of a diverse student body, unquote. That's a really fancy way of saying racial quotas. You want, let me read this again. Ensure that a critical mass of underrepresented minority students would be reached so as to realize the educational benefits of a diverse student body. By critical mass, the court went on, it denotes, quote, meaningful numbers or meaningful representation that encourages underrepresented minority students to participate in the classroom and not feel isolated. That's called a quota. Quote, when a critical mass, if I can fucking read, of underrepresented minority students is present, racial stereotypes lose their force because non-minority students learn there is no minority viewpoint, but rather a variety of viewpoints among minority students, unquote. Unless, of course, one of those minority students would be, oh, I don't know, a conservative, a Republican, a libertarian, a member of the Tea Party, a Catholic, right? Then, of course, that minority student would need to shut the fuck up in the name of diversity and stop oppressing everybody. Consistent with it, blah, blah, blah. All right, there it is. Little bit of diversity on college campuses. I just found that to be fucking humorous. Speaking of fucking humorous, here's some more humorousness. Here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, now, as you may know, unless you live under a rock, here in Colorado, they legalized marijuana. Now, here in the People's Republic of People's Republic of Fort Collins, the government here, our slave masters, have a fucking raging hard-on for eliminating smoking. Tobacco smoking, that is. And e-cigarettes, both of which are going to be, in 2 days, illegal anywhere on government-owned property. That means outside. Like if you're in the park and the park is owned by the government, you not only can you not smoke a tobacco cigarette, you cannot smoke an electronic cigarette. Now, what's really funny about this is that at the same time, the government of Fort Collins is going insane trying to stop people from smoking cigarettes. There are, of course, marijuana dispensaries everywhere, and marijuana advertising. Remember when we had to ban the royal we? Remember when the government, the state, for your own good, had to ban Joe Camel and other cigarette advertising because small children would see cigarette advertising and instantly become addicted to cigarettes? There is marijuana advertising everywhere in this city. Smoking tobacco or e-cigarettes, the fucking work of the devil. Smoking dope? Oh, fuck yes! Light up another doobie. And as I've said before, before marijuana was legalized, marijuana smokers never bothered me. Now that it's legal and they're everywhere, it's like, guys, can you just get a fucking life? I never really realized it before because they weren't so open about it. Stoners are fucking losers, dude. And I'm not necessarily saying smoking the dope is what makes you a loser. I think that losers are attracted to smoking the dope. I don't have any data to back this up. I haven't done a study. This is just personal observations. All right, here we go. Randy, how am I on time? Can I do this? If I shut the fuck up and stop digressing. Okay, that's a valid point. I can't really argue with you on that one. All right, so I have 11 minutes. Okay, challenge accepted. Here we go. Electronic cigarettes, this is from the CSU Collegian, September the 10th, 2015. Electronic cigarettes can be a gateway to other tobacco products, according to CSU professor studies. Now, of course, marijuana, not possibly a gateway to other drugs, not possibly a gateway to smoking. Marijuana advertising, totally cool. But oh my God, if the kids see Joe Camel, it's going to be a major fuck. All right. Electronic cigarettes, more commonly known as vaporizers, are becoming increasingly popular on high school and college campuses throughout the country. Yes, because if you ban tobacco smoking, if you ban actual smoking, people will find ways to get around the laws. Oh, I can't smoke cigarettes, I'll get a vaporizer. It's like, oh, if you ban guns, I wonder if guns will vanish or if people will just find other ways to purchase guns. Oh, I wonder if you make marijuana and cocaine and opium illegal. I wonder if people will stop doing drugs. Or wait, do you think they just might find another way to get the drugs? Oh, wait, you mean making things illegal doesn't make a fucking difference? How could that be? Anyway, see, I can't do it. I can't go without digressing. It's impossible. Right? Remember, if making things illegal could stop them from happening, nobody would ever get raped, nobody would ever get murdered, because both of those things are illegal. It doesn't fucking work, does it? Oh my God, it's such a startlingly simple concept. Yet, in the diversity and tolerance, you're not allowed to talk about that. All right, anyway, I suck at this, Randy. I can't fucking do this. There's just too much, my brain. All right. Nathaniel Riggs, an associate professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies, fucking worthless degree, aided in it. That means that he filled out a couple of pieces of paper or something. He didn't do the study, he aided in a survey. It's not a study, it's a survey. A survey is different than a study. I've explained this in the past. I don't have time now because I'm supposed to be focusing because Randy's giving me the stink eye. Focusing on the correlation. Correlation does not equal causation. That's what people tell me all the time when I point out correlations. Oh no, correlation does not equal causation. Correlation between the use of electronic cigarettes and the use of other tobacco-related products. Well, yeah, there is a correlation because most people who smoke e-cigarettes were probably already smoking regular cigarettes. If you don't already smoke cigarettes, why would you sit there and go, hey, I think I'm going to try smoking an e-cigarette. I don't know why. I've never smoked in my life before, but I think I'll do that. Did these fucking moron professors have any contact with real, normal people at any point in their lives at all? Or do they just sit around on the college campus all the time just jacking off while talking to each other about tolerance and diversity and how much they hate heterosexual white men who work for a living? The survey, part of the Health and Happiness Study involving 3,300 ninth grade students in Southern California, again, at least we're being told the sample size. So we're making all these conclusions based on 3,300 ninth graders in Southern California. Yes, I'm sure those fucking ninth graders in Southern California are representative of human beings of all ages, all fucking social spheres, all ideologies across the entire United States of America. Yes, this survey sounds incredibly valid and useful to me. questioned them about topics including substance use, mental health, and social competence. Quote, one of the reasons why we're really interested in adolescence is because the adolescent brain is still continuing to develop in areas that are really important for addiction, Riggs said. Young adults from 18 to 25 years of age are still going through a very similar development, and yet they're allowed to vote, which doesn't make any fucking sense. Remember, if a 16-year-old kid can make a decision whether or not she should get an abortion, she should also be smart enough to make a decision about whether or not she's going to smoke a fucking e-cigarette. It's that goddamn simple. If they're smart enough to make decisions about abortion, they should be smart enough to make decisions about smoking. If they're not, they shouldn't be making abortion decisions. Blah, I can't fucking talk. Vaporizers have been marketed for adolescents with different types of flavoring, such as cotton candy. These different types of electronic cigarettes are not initially seen as harmful because they lack as many carcinogens as combustible cigarettes, cigars, or hookahs. Quote, kids who hadn't started using tobacco-related products were more likely to start using them after they began using electronic cigarettes. So the electronic cigarettes appear to be a gateway for more dangerous forms of tobacco use. Even though these electronics do not have as many carcinogens, cancer-causing chemicals as regular tobacco products, they still contain nicotine, which causes the addiction to, in this case, these electronic cigarettes, unquote, Riggs said. Now, keep in mind that part of the problem here is that they're flavored. They're like cotton candy and all these other flavors. So, this is we'll come back to this. Hold this in your brain, okay? The fact that they are flavored is part of what's wrong with them. That's attractive to these kids. And we can't offer these flavored e-cigarettes because, oh, it's going to be attractive to children. Okay. Many students and adolescents are unaware of the amount of nicotine found in electronic cigarettes. Okay, well, maybe they could read the packaging. Oh, wait, reading. Reading is just a tool of the patriarchy used to oppress these students, who are, of course, members of the smartest generation ever, and couldn't really be expected to do something like read the packaging or, oh, I don't know, use the fucking internet to get information. Fuck. God damn. Dude, I am so fucking patriarchal. Randy, did I really just insinuate that members of the smartest generation ever could use the internet to find information about the stuff they're inhaling into their lungs? Am I really that patriarchal, that racist, sexist, and homophobic? God damn, I obviously hate black people. You can tell just how much I hate black people. How dare I suggest that the smartest generation ever fucking use Google to locate information? God damn it, I'm a sick motherfucker. I am so sick. Quote, I started doing research on vaping and I saw it was just as unregulated as cigarettes. Unquote, said Nathan Kamali, a freshman studying fish and wildlife and conservation biology. Yes, because there are things in the United States of America that are not regulated. That's a nice fantasy. As electronic cigarettes gain popularity among adolescents, they are also becoming more available. So wait a minute. Things that become more popular become more available? No. That's crazy talk. What we need government regulation of the economy. The idea that things people want should be made available to people? Yeah, see, that's capitalism. That's evil. That's racist, sexist, and homophobic. In certain parts of the country, vaporizers are available for purchase at gas stations and other convenience stores. Oh my God, you can buy a vape at a fucking gas station. Now, of course, the fact that you can buy alcohol at the gas station, not a problem. Because, of course, the alcohol industry has a shit ton of lobbyists in Washington, D.C. They pay lots and lots of tax money. They generate lots of economic. So that, not a problem. Driving drunk is apparently discouraged, but getting your booze at a gas, not a problem. But oh my God, you can buy a vaporizer at a gas station. There ought to be a law. The amount of nicotine may not be as significant in electronic cigarettes as it is in other tobacco products, but it still contains enough to create an addiction. As if nicotine is the only addictive product on the planet Earth. Quote, I feel I would be less likely to quit if I were vaping because it's easier and less bad for you, and then I would never want to quit, unquote, said Madison Scudero, a freshman studying fish, wildlife, and conservation biology. You can tell they wrote this thing standing outside of the fucking AZ building because that's why everybody interviewed has the same major. Some students do smoke both electronic and combustible cigarettes. Quote, I really don't like smoking cigarettes, and the vape really does help take the edge off, but it never takes the place of actual cigarettes, unquote, says Charisse Christopher, a junior art major. Okay, so, Randy, we're going a little bit long. Deal with it. It won't be too long, though. So, smoking e-cigarettes is bad, okay, because they have flavors, and we gotta protect the children, right? That's why we banned cigarette advertising in magazines and TV and everything, to protect the children, because if the children hear the idea that these things are good, they're going to want some. Now, this is, from the Collegian, this is Roastin' with Rick, Super Lemon Haze. This week's Roastin' with Rick features the Satava-dominated hybrid Super Lemon Haze from Organic Alternatives, smoked out of Kind Creation's 12-armed showerhead single oil drum. And there's a picture of a giant fucking bong and a bunch of marijuana, and the bong is all like crystal clear and badass looking. Nothing here that might visually appeal to children, like Joe the Camel, right? So we don't have to worry about children seeing this and wanting to smoke marijuana. Let me read two little parts of this thing to you. Now remember, we can't talk about marijuana, we can't talk about cigarettes, we can't advertise them, whatever, because if you present them in a way that's appealing to children, children will become addicted. Now, as I read this, tell me if any of this might be appealing to children or even other people of limited intelligence, like millennials or liberals. The crystal-covered buds of this strain hold a variety of colors. Dark orange, almost red hairs contrast with a light and dark green vegetation, with small spots of purple found here and there. If it were a jewel, it would be fit for a king. The powerful smell emits remnants of both its parent strains, a heavy skunky aroma mixed with a highly evident lemony citrus scent filled the room the moment the bag was open. There was a delightful sweetness to it that made it one of the more desirable skunky-smelling marijuana strains that I've reviewed. The potency of the smell led me to think the flavor would be quite robust, but I was relatively disappointed in it. Not to say it wasn't flavorful. It was, but the flavors were less evident than the aroma. The smoke had a certain tanginess to it in combination with sweet hints of lemon, and the skunky smell seemed almost unnoticeable in the flavor. Overall, a good flavor profile, but just not as pungent as I expected. So that's totally okay. But if you have a vaporizer that tastes like cotton candy, oh, we can't have that, because that might encourage somebody to smoke it. I'm telling you guys, it's hilarious living in the People's Republic of Fort Collins as tobacco is just demonized like a motherfucker and marijuana is everywhere. Fucking everywhere.